Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos daf Memchet. Thank you, Lupin Foundation, for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned. Zecher Nishmas Los Lupin Zaltzman. We made our way yesterday to the daf. Yesterday we actually got to Mem Zayin. Today we're going to start from the top of Mem Zayin, and we're going to start from the bottom of the previous summit, and then we're going to make our way, hopefully today, to cover up some lost ground. Take a look at the bottom of Mem Vav Amud Beis, Tana Rabbanan. We're in the middle of the Sukkah of Geirus. This is a Gemara, one of the primary Gemaras that speak about the halachas of Geirus, of conversion. The Gemara got into the topic. Gemara started with Eved Shechur. We're going to come back later today to Eved Shechur and speak out some other details regarding the emancipation of a slave. But in the meantime, we are deep into the discussion of Geirus. Start from the beginning of a topic. We're going to start from the bottom of the Amud where we're going to begin the Braisa. Somebody comes forward and says, I'm a ger. So he has no chazaka, he's no presumption, and people are unsure in terms of what his status is. So he makes a declaration that I'm a ger, and Yachol Nekablanu. So the hava mina would be, okay, he said it. So he has to have a chazaka. There has to be some sort of presumption that that he's a ger. So what would be an example of that? So let's go on the brace above the Edavimo. So let's say he comes and he's got a set of Edom with him. So Minayin, so how do I know that his gerus is in fact a good gerus on virtue of the fact that the witnesses are testifying? So the pastor comes along and tells us that we have witness substantiating. Now, the pasuk doesn't really indicate that there are witnesses, and in fact, the Gemara later on is going to ask the question, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that witnesses are valid? Witnesses are valid. We know that. Witnesses establish things. So I need a special drasha over here that if two witnesses come and tell me that he's a ger, okay, that's good. In other words, that's baseline. That would have been our default understanding. So the Gemara is going to ask that question momentarily. We're going to come back to that. Now this is true in Eretz Yisrael. Now why does the Gemara make that assumption? Because you go back to the pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'chi agor itcha ger ba'artzachem." So for some reason, the Torah seems to be indicating that this is true only in Eretz Yisrael. B'chutz la'aretz minayim. But how do I know the same thing would be true in chutz la'aretz as well? Tamalamar itcha b'chol makom shi'itcha. So anywhere you are, that's where you can have gerim. Why would there be a difference between Eretz Yisrael and chutz la'aretz in terms of gerim? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss that. Also later on as well. So im came out to Maloma Baharz, Baharz Sarach Lahaviraya, Bechutz Arz Ein Sarach Lahaviraya. There is a distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Arz, and that is whether or not the Ger has to bring a proof that he in fact was Mezgar Divir Rabbi Yehuda. That is Rabbi Yehuda's position. The Chachamim Omrim, Bein Baharz, Bein Chutz Arz Sarach Lahaviraya. And the Chachamim say no. In Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't matter. A Ger can't just simply come in and say, I was Mezgar. But rather, he needs some sort of substantiation, both in and out of Eretz Yisrael. Adkan divrei habraisa, that is the end of the braisa. The Gemara now discusses some of the points which we raised while reading the braisa. Bahu ve'edavimo kara lamali. So the Gemara's first question is, why do I need a pasuk? It's clear that if you have Edom come and say that he's a ger, so pashut. Am rav sheshes, dar mishamanish, and his guy be'bezen shalploni. So the Gemara says, no, we're not talking about the witnesses who actually saw the conversion. Witnesses who actually saw the conversion, I don't need a pasuk in the Torah to tell me that they're good. Obviously they're good. That's witnesses. That's the definition of witnesses. What these witnesses said is shamanu. We heard. So I might have thought the havamina would have been, what are they reporting? They're reporting hearsay. Hearsay in terms of edus is generally unacceptable. Later in the Masechta, we're going to talk about areas where hearsay is going to be acceptable. But that's an exception. The rule is, hearsay is unacceptable. So I might have thought that here, if I had these witnesses who came forward and said, we heard Shamanu, so Saka Dat Chamina Lo Lamnu Kamash Malan. Sorry. The Havamina would have been that we don't believe them because generally hearsay is unacceptable. So that's the Chiddush over here. The Chiddush over here is that hearsay, in this regard, will be one of those exceptions in which it's acceptable. So Ba'aretz Ein Li Ela Ba'aretz B'chol Saras Minayin Tamalam Ritcha B'chol Makum Shritcha. So the Gemara says, now we're going to go on to the next part of the Braisa, which the Braisa makes a drasha, that the Gerin can be accepted both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, you can't do that, you can't double dip on a drasha. Once you have a pasuk designated for a drasha, that's it, it's darshan. and you can't go back there and darshan a second time from the same word. So the Gemara says that there are multiple psukim. The first pasuk meitcha is from the pasuk that we just quoted in Parshas Kedoshim. Where's the second one from? So it's not totally clear. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi Tosha v'chayimach from Parshas Bahar. You take a look at the Vilna Gaon. He has a different pasuk in terms of where it comes from. But in other words, there's another pasuk. And the Chachamim say, no, in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, you have to bring a proof. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. We're mekabel gerim both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. And again, the Gemara later on, in just a moment, is about to lay down a distinction of why I would have thought they're different. But the Gemara says, but the fact is, the Torah does say the word ba'aretz when it comes to gerim. So the Gemara says, no, what the Torah is telling us is that I would have thought that in Eretz Yisrael we're not going to accept gerim for a reason we're about to articulate. So the Torah has to go out of its way to tell me that not only can I accept gerim outside of Eretz Yisrael, I can even accept gerim inside of Eretz Yisrael. Why would I have thought otherwise? The Gemara goes on to explain. Could very well be that their gerus over here is not for sincere motivation, but rather for ulterior motivation. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi explains the tivusa d'Eretz Yisrael, the goodness of Eretz Yisrael. It's not the Rashi going directly on the Gemara, but Leika Tova, you see the fourth line in Rashi, the Pasuk Chalav Devash, right? Rashi over here, right, a reference to the Pasuk of Eretz Chalav Devash, Eretz Zavad Chalav Devash, so land flowing with milk and honey. So outside of Eretz Yisrael, you don't have milk and honey, literally, figuratively. In other words, it's not that you don't have Tivusa d'Eretz Yisrael. So maybe in Eretz Yisrael, they're converting, but only for the ulterior motive. And the Gemara says, and look, also on top of that, you don't, in Eretz Yisrael, there are handouts. In other words, there's a structure in which people can collect food, even if they don't have. So Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is Eretz Yisrael is Avat Chalav Advash. Eretz Yisrael has Lakishech Opeya and Maestrani. It's good. It's good to be living in Eretz Yisrael. What do I have to do? Convert? Okay, fine. I'll do that as well. So that's the Havamina. The Havamina would have been that we shouldn't accept because their motivation is not sincere. Okay. So the Gemara says, quoting Rav Yochanan, they have to bring a Rai. You can't just simply walk in and say, hi, it was Megayer, and say, what, who, where, when, why? And then he provides details. That doesn't work. There has to be some sort of Rai. So the Gemara says, okay, Pshita. So the Gemara says, look, when all said and done, we just saw the Braisa. The Braisa brought down a machlok. It's between Rabbi Yehud and the Chachamim. So without Rav Yochanan, that would have been our conclusion. That's normally the Klalei Pesach, where you follow the majority. Ma'od detema, mistabatayim de Rabbi Yehuda, dekamisayle cry. So I might have thought that Rabbi Yehuda's got psukim supporting him. Psukim that indicate that there is a distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, so you have to bring a proof, and Chutz Aretz you don't, and the psukim support it. So it's like Rav Yehuda's, yes, he's a Shitas Yachid, but a Shitas Yachid being supported by psukim gives them a little boost, so to say. So Kamash wants to Rav Yochanan has to make sure that we know that that's not correct, that's not accurate, that the halacha does not follow like Rav Yehuda, but rather like the Chachamim. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Ushvatim tzedek ben ish u ben achiv ben geiro. Gemara quotes the apostle from the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, Mikanam Rav Yehuda, ger shnizgar bebezin, how is there ger? So ger has an element of mishpat. A conversion is a Beis Din proceeding, and so therefore it has to be done in the Beis Din, made up of three. But if he does it by himself, meaning he's Megayer with nobody else there, ain't no ger, is not considered a ger. In the Braisa, we have an episode where someone goes over to Rav Yehuda and says, you know, I was Megayer, and it was just me by myself. I did the Mila, I did the Tefillah, I didn't do it in front of Beis Din. Amalei Rav Yehuda, Yishcha Edim. So Rav Yehuda says, witnesses? Amalei Lav. So he said, no. No witnesses. Yeshecha banim, he says, do you have children? Amalei hein. So he said, yep. So Amalei neman ata lifsol atzmecha v'yata neman lifsol banecha. So Rav Yehuda has a very interesting psak. He says, vis-a-vis you, you want to declare yourself to be ineligible because essentially what he's saying is, I wasn't Megayer. Meaning, yeah, he's talking about going through some sort of conversion process, but without a Beis Din, that's nothing. But how do we know this information? We know this information because he's forwarding this information. So you want to say something about yourself? So that's fine. But as far as your children are concerned, you cannot affect the status of your children, and your children are going to be considered Jewish. Now, a couple of interesting things. First of all, what's going on over here? Didn't the Gemara just a moment ago conclude that in order to establish that you are a ger, so you need Edom, you need a substantiation that you're in fact a ger. And over here, in this discussion that the Gemara has immediately following, the Gemara says, well, if your child is presumed to be Jewish, so then obviously he's Jewish, and you can't affect that status. Where's the default? Is the default is that their converts and the conversion is good, or the default is no? We have to find out that the conversion is good.
Well,
so
that has something to say about his wife.
I'll get to that in just a moment. So so generally speaking, is that you work with chazakas, meaning that if it's somebody who is presumed to have converted, in other words, and he's been living with us, and he's been around for a while, so under such circumstances, so at that point in time, meaning after some time of living with the Jews and being with the Jews and behaving like a Jew, so there comes a point in time where you stop questioning the validity of the conversion, meaning there's a general chazaka that's established just simply by him or her, whoever the ger is, being around for a long time. If they're presenting themselves for the first time and saying, hey, here I am, I converted, so at that point in time, that's when you question.
Does it matter when he converted, like a week ago or like 10 years ago?
For sure it matters. Where the line to draw is?
Accepting his word.
I don't know where to draw the line. But over here, when the Gemara is having this discussion about, well, if he wants to say he's not Jewish, that's fine, but he can't affect his children. It means that he's been around for some time with us assuming and presuming that he was Jewish and he's raising his kids Jewish. In other words, there's a certain chazaka that's laid forward. So how can he do that to himself? Meaning, if there's a presumption of there's a chazaka that he's Jewish, how can he undo it? So take a look at Tosos. Tosos discusses this. Tosos, Dira Maskal, Neman Atal of Solat Mecha, Hainadavka, Bemila, Demashinav Shechaticha Disur. So Tosos over here invokes an idea that we have a number of times in the Gemara, and that is if you want to take something mutter and declare it to be asr to yourself, you're more than welcome to do so. Encouraged, it's obviously not a great idea to take something which the Torah permits and for you to declare it asr, but we have an entire mesechta dedicated to that topic. You know what that's called? It's called a neder, meaning that's the definition of a neder. A neder means, you know what, I'm not going to eat meat. The Torah allows it, right? Proper shechita. You're allowed to eat meat? No, I'm going to be bound by my own neder that I'm not going to eat meat. So you could do that, right? The Torah allows it. We're going to have an entire mesechta dedicated to the topic coming up in Seder Nashim. So over here, Tosha says, that's basically the idea over here. So we have a presumption that he is a ger, and his children are b'nei ger. That's our presumption. That's the chazaka that we've been working with. And now he wants to step forward and say, you know what? Let me tell you a little bit about my geris that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, however long ago it was. And then he provides information with upsets his geris. So as far as he's concerned, he wants to make himself, quote-unquote, usher. He has all the right to do so. Can he do it to others? No. And let's go back to Nedarim. In the world of Nedarim, the only person you can affect with your neder is yourself. You can't affect somebody else with a neder you make. That's not totally correct what I just said, but it's basically correct. So over here, same thing. That's the way Tosfos understands the Gemara at this point. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Abanim Lamehemen Ba'atanya. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Rav Yehuda says he has no credibility over his own children. Wait a second, we learned in a Braisa. Yakir, Yakir, and Alachirim. Beginning of Parshas Kiseitse. You have a firstborn. How do we know it's the firstborn? Because he says it's the firstborn. Meaning that generally speaking, you need Edom, you need witnesses, not when it comes to the identification of his children. In terms of basic identification of his children, he points to one and he says, that's the firstborn, that's it. He has the power to validate one of his children to be the firstborn. And if everyone else knows it's the firstborn, great. But it will be a big chiddush if he comes along and says, you know, I know everyone thought he was, but really he is. He has the power to do that. So Mikadam Rav Yehuda, Naman Adam Lamar Zebini Bechor. A person can identify one of his children to be the Bechor. Ukeshem Shenaman Lamar Zebini Bechor, Kach Naman Lamar Beniza Ben Grushahi, O Ben Chalutzahi. V'chachamim Amrim Eino Naman. And just like he can reward a child with his testimony by saying that this particular child is a Bechor, he can also condemn and give a status negatively to one of his children. For example, he can say, you know, that child is a Ben Grusha, meaning I'm a Kohen, I married a Grusha, and that child is a product of that union. Even if nobody knew, he's the only one providing this information, but nevertheless, the power of Yakir tells us that he can do that. He can label status his children. Now, that's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. The Chachamim don't agree with that. The Chachamim say no. As far as establishing his children to be Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, no. But the question of the Gemara is in Rav Yehuda. Meaning Rav Yehuda says that if a ger comes forward and says, you know, my gerus was never good. So Rav Yehuda says, okay, he can say that about himself, but he can't say anything bad about his children. And meanwhile, in the next brisa we just learned, Rav Yehuda says, he can label children to be Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza. We have a problem. So Gemari offers a couple of solutions. Solution number one. Now what are you saying? In other words, going back to case number one. Now what are you saying? You're saying you're a guy. You're saying your conversion was no good. At that point forward, it's like we pressed the mute button. In other words, okay, now you have no more ability to testify. Meaning you are now mufka from your excuse from the whole status of testimony. And so therefore now, what are you saying? It's almost as if we can't hear him. Meaning, he doesn't have credibility at that point in time. That's one solution. As opposed to the second brisa, where he's identifying his children to be Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, he's speaking poorly about himself, but he's not removing himself from being a Jew. He's just simply saying, I'm a Kohen who married a divorcee. Shouldn't have done it, but I did it. And obviously that means my child is a Chalal. That's one solution. Ravina Amar Achik Amarle, Yeshcha Banim Hain, Yeshcha Bnei Banim Hain. Amarle Neman Atal Lifso Banecha, V'Atal Neman Lifso Bnei Banecha. Another suggestion of the Gemara, another solution would be as follows: as far as directly affecting his children, that he may do, like Rabbi Yehuda says regarding Yakir, the power of Yakir allows him to identify his child to be a firstborn. It also allows him to identify one of his any and all of his children to be Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. As far as the ger is concerned, he wants to say that his gerus wasn't good. He wants to say that his children's status is also going to be affected, that he has the power to do. Grandchildren is where we draw the line. Meaning the Yakir power only goes to his children. It doesn't go beyond his children. Cannot affect his grandchildren. And the Gemara says, this second answer provided by Ravina, supported by a brisa. Tanya nami achi Rav Yehuda amar neman adam lamar abeno katan veino neman abeno gadol. The brisa doesn't say that clearly, but the brisa says that he is relied upon for his quote unquote minor son, but not relied upon regarding his quote unquote older son. What does that mean? So the words over here, katan gadol, don't take them literally. Ela katan v'yesh lo banim zehu gadol, meaning it's your child, but your child has children, so that's a gadol. Gadol v'ein lo banim. Could be old, but he has no children. Zehu katan. So, and what's the brisa saying? What's Rabbi Yehuda in the brisa saying? He wants to say something about his children that he can do. He wants to say something about his grandchildren that he does not have the yakir power to do. V'hilchasa kavase de Rav Nachman v'hilchasa. Sorry, v'hilchasa kavase de Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak v'tan kavase de Ravina. I'm sorry. Let me do that again. So the Hilchasa Kavasa de Rav Nachman Yitzchak. So then the Gemara says, fine. The halacha in fact follows like Rav Nachman Yitzchak, which is the first answer, meaning the yakir power can affect his children as far as bechor, as far as Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, but as far as him saying my gerus is no good, that only affects him, not his children. And the reason why we go back to the answer of Nachman Yitzchak, which is because once he declares himself not to be Jewish, at that point in time, he has no longer any testimony ability. The Gemara says, okay, fine, But didn't you just quote a Braisa supporting Ravina's answer? No, that Braisa was only talking about Yakir. Meaning within the context of the Yakir power of identifying which child is, which child is his oldest, which child is entitled to Pishtaim, which child is Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, that's the Braisa that makes a distinction between his children versus his grandchildren. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Here we begin. We're in Mem Zayin, we're towards the bottom of the Amud, and in the Gemara now we begin a basic brisa that deals with all the halachas of Geras. I don't mean all, but I mean this is it. This is the main source of the halachas regarding conversion. Let's begin. Ger shebali his gayer bizman hazeh. A convert who wants to convert nowadays, meaning bizman hazeh, meaning no beis hamikdash, and in the galus, in the diaspora. So omrim lo marita shebatalit gayer. So the first thing we say to him is that's a bad idea. Right? We don't recommend it. Don't you know that the Jews nowadays are not in good shape? They are downtrodden, pushed away. Sechufim, Rashi explains, lo, shefulim, meturafim, they're torn apart. The yisurim ba'am aleihem, and we suffer terribly. Im omer yodeh ani ve'eni kedai. And his response is a very genuine and a very sincere. I'm aware, in any kedai, I'm not worthy. Meaning, it speaks in very modest terminology. The kamala somiyad. Okay, so we push him away. Not b'shnei adayim, but we push him away. And if he's still insistent, so then we take him. Omodianos amitzvos mitzvos kalos mitzvos mitzvos chamuros. And you let him in on some of the mitzvos. It seems pretty clear from the braisa that he does not have to be. He has to be totally committed, but he doesn't need to be totally knowledgeable about all the halachas upon conversion. A little bit strange, right? In other words, somebody who's ready to convert and now become a full-fledged Jew, and he's not totally knowledgeable at that point in time, but the assumption is that as long as he's totally committed, so the knowledge will follow. And you let him know about the halachas of Lekashicha Peo Maiserani. The Gemara later on will ask the question on this part of the Braisa, which is, Why that detail? There are a lot of things that you can let him know about in terms of Torah and mitzvot. So you're going to let him know about the gifts that you give to the poor. Okay, we'll talk. The Gemara is going to talk about that later. Omer dinos aranchen shal mitzvot, and you tell him the punishment of the mitzvot. Omer lo havi yodeh shal shalabat shalabat lamidazu. So you let him know the following. You know, before you convert, just be aware. Right? You like chalev? Forbidden fats of the animal. Well, as a non-Jew, they're not forbidden. Totally permissible. So, you would have been fine. However, chilalta Shabbos, yata onashkila. Not however. And you also should know, right? Shabbos, you want to take a ride out, you want to dig, you want to plant, you want to do anything, you want to cook. So, no, fine. No punishment. And now, you're going to have to totally change your lifestyle. You eat chalev now, so that's a chiv kares. You mechal Shabbos, that's chiv skila. Now, of course, there's a negative, but with the negative also comes the upside. There's going to be schar, there's going to be a reward. So you should know that olam haba is for set aside for tzaddikim. And you know, Jews nowadays, so we're kind of stuck somewhere in the middle. Ainu chol makabel on the top of Memzainim and Beis, lo rav tova v'lo rav puranios. Not majority of good, not majority of bad. Meaning we are wholly mediocre nowadays. Vein marbin alav. But then the Braisa says at that point in time, don't go overboard. Meaning you gave him a lot to digest. So ain marbin alav, don't push it now. Vein medaktikin alav. And don't be too specific. Give him Rashi Prakim, give him the basics of what it means to be the Jew and the consequences and the benefits of what it means to be a Jew, and let him make an informed and an intelligent decision. Kibo, now after all said and done, if he accepts Malnos or Miyad, so then you give him a circumcision right away. The Gemara is going to ask the question, Miyad right away, like in other words, give it a day, give it a week, what's the rush? Gemara is going to ask that question. And then the Braisa makes sure that we know that this is not a ceremonial Mila. This is Mila. This is a mitzvah of Mila with all the details and requirements of Mila, which is that you have to totally excise the Arla. No part of the Arla, not no part of the Arla, that's a little dramatic of me. There cannot be a majority of the Arla that remains. We'll talk about the Arla later in the Gemara. Now, if the art seats in, if there are any loose strands of the Arla that are covering the Atara, covering the Corona, so then you got to go back and you got to cut again. Nisrape mat bilin oso miyad. And if he heals, so then you then he tovels in the mikvah. Ushein tamid chachamim amdam agabav. And two tamid chachamim stand by him. The Gemara later on will ask the question, why two? The number should be three, right? Didn't we learn yesterday in the beginning of today that it's judgment, it's mishpat, you need a beis din of three? So Gemara is going to ask that question also. Omodino so mitzvos, mitzvos kalos, mitzvos, mitzvos chamuros. And let him know. The light mitzvos, the harder mitzvos, tava v'ala harei k'yisrael l'chol dvarav. He tovels in the mikveh, he comes up, he's a Jew. L'chol dvarav, and in every respect. And again, the Gemara later on is going to ask, l'chol dvarav, meaning just say he's a Jew. Why do you have to say l'chol dvarav? Gemara is going to ask that question. Isha, now in terms of a woman, so how does she go through the conversion process? Now for here it's going to get a little tricky, because on one hand, she's going to tovel in the mikveh, on the other hand, it has to be done in front of a beis din. So it is a little bit awkward, it's a little bit uncomfortable, but the Braisa over here explains how this is going to be done with the utmost modesty, as best as it can be done. Now she moshivan osom b'maymat zavaram. So what happens is that she has women with her, who put into the water up until her neck. Ushnei tamid chachamim omdim la mibachutz, maodin osom mixas mitzvos kalos, or mixas mitzvos chamuros. And the tamid chachamim, meaning, and again, the Braisa uses the number two over here, which again is unusual, we'll come back to that. But there are Tamid Chachamim who are there to tell her about the mitzvos, kalos and chamuros, and that's how she'll go through the conversion. Echad ger v'echad eved meshuchar. Yeah, I know. And this is true by ger, this is true by a eved meshuchar. Now, in the Braisa, what does the Braisa say? That it's the same process that's done for both a convert and for an eved meshuchar. In terms of the mikvah, it's got to be a bona fide mikvah, the kind where neither would go and purify ourselves. And as far as the halachas of chatzitza are concerned, same. Meaning that this is a tefillah, which requires all the rules and regulations of a tefillah, and there cannot be no barrier separating the water from the skin. And there, so there has to be a check to make sure that there's no chatzitza. Ad kan divrei habraisa. That is it. So the braisa, which starts on the bottom of mem zayin amud aleph and goes to the top of mem zayin amud beis, is the braisa that speaks most directly to the halachas of a conversion. And you know the Gemara kedarko hakodesh, in its normal way, is going to attack the braisa piece by piece. Amar, let's go. Number one, ger shabali zgayir amram lo mari to shabali zgayir modinos o mixas mitzvos kalos o mixas mitzvos chamuros. So you let him have it, right? You tell him about the kalos, the chamuros, my tamid yiparish nifrosh. So the Gemara says, because if he's not interested, great, we don't proselytize. The Jewish people for thousands of years do not proselytize, and this Gemara speaks very clearly to that idea that we're not marketing, we're not selling. The Amr Rabbi Chavach Kashim Gerim Lisoak Kasapach. The Gemara makes a statement. This Gemara comes up a number of times in Shas, and that is one of the reasons why we don't proselytize is because the Gerim are right now. Let's just say it literally. So the Gerim are difficult. They're difficult like a Sapachas. Sapachas, not familiar with the terminology. It's found in Parshas Tazria Mitzora. It's one of the forms of Tzaras. It's a form of leprosy. The Gemara Kipshuto is saying it's not good for the Jews. It's like having tzaras. What does that mean? So we'll start with Rashi. Rashi says, "Kashim gerim lisok kesapachas dechsev." I'm sorry, I should have read the pasuk. Dechsev. I'm going to go back to the Gemara and then I'm going to go to Rashi. The pasuk says, "V'navagir aleim v'nisbechua beis Yaakov." So the Navi Yeshayahu describes that someone who converts v'nisbechu from the word sapachas, they'll be like tzaras on the Jewish people. Now let's take a look at Rashi. Lashon sapachas she'ochzim maaseh marishonim. So the way Rashi understands the Gemara is old habits are so hard to break. and they lived a lifetime of being a non-Jew, and now you're asking for an entirely different change of lifestyle, it's very hard. And Rashi says, "V'lamdim Yisrael mehem, osamchem aleihem b'yisav heter." And so they're not going to be totally fluid in terms of how they actually perform Yiddishkeit, and so they're going to serve as bad role models, and we're going to end up following them. That's Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. Take a look at Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos on the Amud, where Tosfos also gives a couple of explanations of the Gemara. Tosfos writes, "Lefi she'im b'kim," last Tosfos on the Amud, "Lefi she'im b'kim b'tiktukim mitzvos v'yisrael ha'medim imasehem." So the first pshat that Tosfos offers is echoing Rashi's sentiment. Over Maseches Nida, Pirush B'Kushos, Ol Lashon Achir, Mishum D'Chol Yisrael Reiv and Zebezeh. Another pshat in Tosfos over here, a very interesting one, and that is once they become a Jew, so then they become united with the Jewish people, and that means that we are their guarantor, they are our guarantor. And that means for everything they do wrong, so we have to absorb that. V'Kashu D'Beper Ge'elo Ne'amarim, Mash Mashalayu Arevim, Alagerim, D'Lo Chashiv Hasam Areva, Shal Erev Rab. And then a very basic debate, which I just will mention, but then on a different occasion, we talked about it in more detail, but I'll just mention, and that is whether or not the converts are included in the whole discussion of Arevas. Are they part of Arevas, or are they not part of Arevas? Tosfos says that's debatable. Okay. And it's, can I just share with you an irony? Meaning, Tosfos says the Erev Rav are not included in Arevas. Which is funny because it's the same word, so okay, so it's a little bit strange, but okay, it's an irony. But Odye Shlomer back to Tosfos, the Kashim Gerli Sola Fishim at Arvin Behem, Veishchina Shora Ella Amishpachos and Yichasos Shabisrael. Another pshat has to do with what we learned earlier in the Masechta. Remember, a short time ago, we talked about if you don't know who your father is, if there's no establishment of paternity, so then you have less Hashra Shchina, and Tosfos says that maybe that's the issue. And Tosfos offers at the very end two more pshatim. One pshat is that one last pshat over here in Tosfos, and that is as follows. We know that there's an issur in the Torah of Anas Devarim. You cannot verbally abuse another person. And not only is this applicable to another Jew, but the Torah is very careful, very specific about not only not verbally abusing another Jew, but also not verbally abusing a ger as well. And Tosfos says at the end, and that's very difficult. And it's almost like lifnei iver. Another pshat. Take a look at Tosfos in Masechta Nida, which Tosfos over here points to Daf Yud Gimel, and over there he offers another pshat. And that is, why are the Gerim so difficult? So he says, because when they end up converting, they do it better than we do it. They show us up. And that's another possible pshat in the Gemara, in the Tosfos over there in Nida. Let's go back to our Gemara over here. Ein marbin alav, ein medakting alav. Now, once, sorry, I skipped, let me not do that. Now, you let him know about leket, shechacha, peya, and maisarani. And the Gemara's question is a very simple one. Why? Meaning, why those? So, the Gemara gives an answer which is a little vague. And the Gemara says, well, you know, as a ben Noach, they steal less than a shavapruta, and the chayav. And we know that anytime they violate anyone, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, they're Chayav Misa, and Lo Nitan Li Shavon. And there's no mitzvah for them to return the lost item, unlike the Torah, where if we steal, so then we have a mitzvah in the Torah, the Heshev is exil of returning the lost item. And then we could just ask a very simple question. And so what? Meaning, okay, as a non-Jew, there's also a record of stealing, but it's capital crime and less than Shava Pruta, and there's no mitzvah of Hashava. But how does that answer the question? The question is, why do we let them know about that? Take a look at Rashi over here. I'm going to fast forward in Rashi to the second pshat of Rashi. Right? Rashi offers two pshat, and the second one is the one he prefers. Rashi writes in his second pshat in the Divra Maskov Lishna Achrina, Hovein Makbidim Alamamon Kol Kach Chidamer Denar Gapachos Mishav Apruta Modina So Avon Leket. Rashi says, I'll tell you why we're talking about this one. Because there's a capital crime on the Noahide laws of stealing an even less than a Shavapruta, so that means that they become very glued to their money. And they are not generous, to, right? And they're makbid on any amount of money. And so, meanwhile, but when it comes to a Jew, when did you violate Gzela? Only when it's worth a Shavapruta. Why less than a Shavapruta? You're not violating Gzela? Because we're not makbid. Well, you took a penny? Okay. So it's a penny. Now, I'm not saying a penny is or isn't a Shavapruta, but that's the basic idea. Meaning that we have there's a cushion when we're Jews, we have a certain cushion, a certain amount of flexibility. I wish it were a little more true, but okay. but that's how it should work. As opposed to from the Noahide side, in other words, no, any amount stolen is considered a theft. So that it basically habituates them to become totally connected with their money. And basically what you're saying is, do you know what it means to be a Jew? It means to be a little bit flexible. It means that you're going to have to be a little bit generous, a little bit forgiving with your money. Okay. And hopefully that will sway them away. And Rashi says, and I like this pshat. Then he comments on his first pshat, and you take a look later at the previous Rashi and why he doesn't like that first pshat. We're back to the Gemara. In Marbin Alav, in Medaktik and Alav, Amar Avalazim, I cried, Dichsiv, Ateri, Kimis, Mikimis, Ametzes, He, La Leches, Ita, Vatechta, La Daber, Elah. And how do I know that once they show a commitment, meaning you push them away, but once they show a commitment, that's it, you stop? So we learn from Ruth. Meaning that's exactly what happened. Ruth, Naomi says, don't come with me. And Arpa says, you're right, I'm not going to come with you. And Ruth says, no, I am going to come. So at that point in time, Naomi stopped. Amrallah, and here, beautiful Gemara, the Gemara here gives us the dialogue between Naomi and Ruth. Meaning, it's not clear in the Pesukim that there's such a dialogue, but it's Drush. And in this Drush that we're about to see, we're going to see that there was an exchange between Naomi and Ruth about the basics of what it means to be a Jew. So Amar lo asal on Tchum Shabbos. So Naomi says, on Shabbos you can't walk 2,000 amos beyond your Makam Shvisa. Vashir telchi elech. So what was Ruth's response? Yeah, wherever you go, I go. Meaning, and I'm conscribed in terms of where I can go, fine. Asal on Yichud. Yichud is also in the Torah. So Vashir talini alin. So Ruth says, okay, wherever you sleep, I'll sleep. Makbin eshesh meos v'yigim mitzvos. We're commanded to 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. So, Amech Ami, and Rus's response is good. That's your nation, that's my nation. I'll take on all 613. Arsalan Nevoros Kochavim, Naomi says, no idolatry. Elokaich Elokai. Naomi says, okay, I'm good with that. Arba Misas Nimstu Lebezdin. That we have capital punishment, four different ways. Bashir Tamus Yamos. Rus says, fine, good. I'm good with that. And you know that there are two different cemeteries for the Ovrei Avera. One for the Skila and Sreifa, and the other one for the Harig and Chenek. And Rashi says it's pretty clear from the Gemara and Sanhedrin, but Rashi over here points out that the Skila and Sreifa are for the even more Rishayim. And I guess the idea of the Gemara is that, when you're a Russian, you behave in a Russia, you're branded as a Russia, and you have status as a Russia. Evishama Kaver. And Ruth says, okay.
She converted, not when she was married, Naomi's daughter in the first
place. Yeah. I talked about that in the past. Okay. Which is not an answer. I know, I'm not answering your question. I'm just, I'll share with you afterwards. Right, off air. Miyad Vatera ki misat metzes he. And okay, so what does Naomi see? She's committed. She's here. So what does Naomi do? She stops. She stops trying to push her away, and at that point in time, now she accepts. Kibbalah Somiyad, we're back to the Brisa, and the Brisa says, okay, at that point in time, so then you do Mila immediately. Why? Gemara, my time is Shuya Mitzvah Lama Shainan. Because now we have a mitzvah. Now, the mitzvah over here, I'm unclear. The mitzvah is on Geras in total, or the Gemara's reference over here is to the mitzvah of Mila. Okay, I'm not sure, but there's a mitzvah opportunity, and once you have a mitzvah opportunity, so don't delay. Nishar bo tzitza ma'akvin amila kidinan eloin tzitza ma'akvin amila basar chofe as rov atara ve'enocha b'tshuma. Yeah. And so the Gemara over here quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, 19th parak of Shabbos, where the Gemara there outlines the halachas of mila. And so what does it mean, tzitza na ma'akvin? If there's part of the arla that is still covering, so if it's covering the rov atara, Rashi over here gives a description of what we would call the corona. If you have any of the frayed arla that's still covering the majority of the circumference of the corona, so the halacha has a discussion of whether it's the circumference or whether it's the what's the other direction, right, the length of the corona, but either way that has to be removed. One of the secrets that nobody's supposed to know about, but I'm going to give away some of the secrets, is that after the Mila, often is the time that there's a touch-up job that's done by the Mala, because during the actual Mila itself, it's one slice, and, you know, sometimes you get it all, and sometimes you don't, and, you know, behind closed doors, then there needs to be a little bit of touch-up that's done, but that's all, I'm not giving any more information outside of that. That's already a lot of information.
Huh?
Yes.
What does it have to say?
Again, the Gemara simply wants to point out that this is not a ceremonial mila. It's not just like it's a bona fide mila. But again, I kind of agree with you. Meaning, it seems once you use the term mila, what else would you have thought it to be?
This one of those cases where the convert has had two of the brothers who died from mila, and you can't have.
Hey, right. Okay. So then. So what? So I mean. It defaults back to the halachas amila. So whatever the halachas amila would be, so that would be, it would be the same. Right? Eino ochel b'tshuma. And then the Braisa points out, and we'll talk about this later in the Masechta, is that an RL, an uncircumcised person, by uncircumcised we mean halachically, meaning even if there was an original cut, but there were still parts of the arla that are covering the atara, so then this kohen is not allowed to eat shuma. We'll talk about that later in the Masechta. I'm sorry. The Gemara here says, we're not talking about the circumference, we're talking about the height. Okay. Okay, and then you wait till he heals, and then he goes into the mikvah, and then the Gemara says, this is medical advice from the Gemara. The Gemara says, because as long as there's an open wound, it's not prudent to go into the water. Gemara over here asks the question straight out. Why does the Braisa keep saying the word two? The number should be three. So Amar Rav Yochanan Tana Tani Shlosha. Rav Yochanan says, good question, and the answer is very simple. Let's correct the Braisa. It should say three.
Are they acting as a Beis Din?
Mishpat.
Just witnesses?
No, Beis Din. It's Mishpat. This is it's judicial. Tavo ve'ala harei kisol chol dvarav l'may yochasa. And the Gemara is being tipped off by the word l'chol dvarav. In every respect, well, of course, in every respect, the ihadar be mekash by sisal mummer karina be the kiddush of kiddushim. Once a Jew, there's no turning back. Even if he says, you know, I tried it, I don't like it, that's it. So you know what he is? He's a Jew. Okay, we'll have another term to describe him. He's a mummer, right? Apostate is, I think, how they say in English. But in other words, but it doesn't matter. You're a Jew, and that's it. There's no turning back. And the Gemara gives us a worst case scenario, I'm sure maybe they're worse, but a worst case scenario is that even as a mumar, and now as Mekadosh, a Jewish woman, and maybe you can argue, well, you know, he didn't start off Jewish, and it was a conversion, and he's now backing out of it, so maybe it's not a good marriage. No, Kedusha of Kedushin, that Kedushin worked. Okay, and then it has to be dealt with. Echad Ger v'Echad Eved Meshuchrar. Okay, and now we're going to spend some time on this next part of the Braisa, really the rest of the daf. And that is, it's also true for an Evan Mishuchrar that what? Kasaka Dachala Kaba Alav Ol Mitzvah. So the Gemara sets us up now for the next Amud of Gemara. We think that what the Braisa means is that for a Gerus, for a regular conversion, he needs Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. Meaning there has to be an element of, I'm in, I'm committed. And what the Gemara now is thinking is, the same thing is true regarding Evan Meshuchrar, where you need a consent to, and we talked about this yesterday, but now the Gemara is going to wonder out loud, is that true? I need consent by Eved Meshuchrar? So the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes the Braisa says, you don't need consent when it comes to Eved Meshuchrar. And so now we have a very basic question on our hands. We know by Geirus we need consent. That's clear. Nothing to discuss. But when it comes to Eved Meshuchrar, do we not need consent? And at this juncture, what we think we have is a basic stira. The Braisa on the bottom of the previous Amud, the top of this Amud, says, for an Eved Meshuchrar, you need consent just like by a Geir. And meanwhile, we have another Braisa that says, by Eved Meshuchrar, you don't need consent. Okay, so what do we have? A stira. So with every stira, we have possible resolutions. Amar Rav Sheshes, here we go. Resolution number one, offered by Rav Sheshes, Lokash, Rav Shimon Malazar, Ha Rabban and Tanya. Could be that this is reflective of a machlokas between Rav Shimon Malazar and the Chachamim. Now, they're not arguing about our case, they're arguing about a related scenario, and that is Eshes Yifas Tawar. The Pasuk says regarding Eshes Yifas Tawar, you go to war, you go to battle. You see a beautiful woman. Obviously, she's not Jewish. So what can you do? The Torah in the beginning of Parshas Kisese describes how you can take her. And you're going to have relations with her. Now, at what point exactly do you have relations with her? Machlokas. But let's not get into that machlokas right now. Let's just talk about her conversion process. So the Bryce records the following. The Tanakhama says, you know, when it comes to Eishes Yifas Torah, you don't have to go through the whole process. If she, at that point, says, I'm interested in conversion, let's talk conversion. Now, I know it's a little bit tricky because we learned earlier in the Masechta, if they're converted, right, if they're converting for a marriage, it's that's not a rejected conversion, but certainly not a preferred conversion. Okay. And understood it's a little bit tricky, but... Okay, fine. So in the, all understood. But let's just right now deal with what's given to us. And that is, so if she ready to go through a conversion, fine. So then you don't have to go through the whole process of her being shaved head, fingernails, sitting 30 days, some opinions 90 days. We don't have to go through all that. Then Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Alfa Pishlo Kiba Alav Kofa Matbila Shem Shevchos V'Chozer Matbila Shem Shechur U'Meshachra U'Muter Ba Miyad. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says something which is fascinating. He says, you know, there's a way, a legitimate way to bypass the entire process of Eishes Yifas Tawar, and you could do it without her consent. And that would be by turning her into a Shevcha, then releasing her from her shvachos, from her shivcha status, and you don't need consent, and then you'd be allowed to be with her immediately, and then you don't have to go through the process.
Why not?
And just give me a moment. And so what you see over here now is what we have on our hands is a basic machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Because clearly the Tanakhama does not offer such advice. And the reason why, let's assume, is because the Tanakhama doesn't accept such advice. And now the way the Gemara is laying it out is that according to the Tanakhama, why doesn't he accept such advice? Maybe because, or probably because, according to the Tanakhama, you have to have consent even as an Eved Meshuchrar. And so, in this case, a Shivcha. And so what the Gemara now is positing is that this machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is a basic question of when you have a Eved or a Shivcha, and you're doing emancipation, do or do you not need consent? And maybe that's the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Shimon ben Elazar. Now, to give away some of the Gemara coming up, the Gemara in just a moment is going to point out, not in a moment, but the Gemara will point out, maybe this is specific to Eishes Yifas Torah, and maybe this is not a general discussion of Eved Meshuchrar, so I'm giving away a little too much right now, but we're going to talk in those terms. The point would be you wouldn't have to go through the whole process.
No, but then she's free, then she can refuse because then she's a Jew.
Correct.
I guess
I understand. But if she were to say something to, along the lines of, marriage is fine, but the Yiddish guy, I'm not totally on board. So again, this is just, it's a halachic discussion. Halachically, there's a way to make her a Jew without having to go through the whole process.
If she's willing to have the marriage. Right.
But she's not really into, I'm not buying into the
case, only in the case.
Yeah, correct. Correct. In other words, in the normal process of Eishes Yifas Torah, you'd have to go through the process as outlined in the Torah. So the Tanakhama says, look, if she's ready for conversion, Kedasa Kedin, you could skip all that. Rabbi Shimon Malazar says, even if she's not ready for conversion, you could still skip all that, and he offers a solution of Shivcha, of being Meshachar her. Okay, let's go with the Gemara. Amar Rav Ora in the top of Mem Ches Amud Aleph. My time and the Rabbi Shimon Malazar dichtiv. And now, what's the reason behind Rabbi Shimon Malazar? Now, the Gemara says Taima. It's not really the reason. It's the drush. It's the darshaning. So, dichtiv kol eved ish miknas kasef. In Parshas Bo, in the description of having a slave, it says eved ish, the slave of a man. And the Gemara says, what does that mean? Eved ish v'lo eved isha? Well, understand. Women can also own a slave. Women have ownership, and they can own a slave. What does the Torah mean when it says eved ish? So, ela eved isha tamal bal karcho v'yatamal ben ish bal karcho. So Rav Shimon Elazar says that the Eved Ish, the Ish is not talking about the owner, the Ish is talking about the Eved. Meaning Eved Ish, what can you do with an Eved Ish? Convert him. You don't need to ask him. It happens immediately. How does it happen? Shichur. It happens by emancipating him. He immediately turns into a Jew. And but Ben Ish, Ben Ish over here means not a slave, but stam. A non-Jew, they want to convert. Consent. You need their. It cannot be done against their will. V'rabbanan amar. V'rabbanan. Now, what are the chacham going to do with that pasuk? Amar ulu kishem shiyata mal benish balkarcho kach yatal mal eved ish balkarcho. So, as far as the chacham are concerned, first of all, it's the same. In other words, you can't convert anyone against their will, not even eved mishuchar. V'ela haksev kol eved ish haumi ba'ile lichadishmol. As far as eved ish is concerned, what is the Torah trying to say? So Damar Shmuel Hamafkir Avdo Yasal Cheres Vinsar Get Shechur. It means as follows. Let's say you declare your Eved ownerless. Again, like we said yesterday, and every time we talk about Eved Kanani, there's an ownership element. It's Kenyan Aguf. Let's say, like you could do with any piece of property that you own, I declare it to be ownerless, and I do that with the Eved. So you know what happens? He goes free. Meaning, once you release your ownership of him, by default, now he's a free man. And you don't even need a get shechur. Shenemer kol evedish, meknas kesed, evedish v'lo evedisha. Eled evedish yesh l'vishus l'rabo alav kari eved, v'shen v'shus l'rabo alav ein kari eved. And then the Gemara says, and that's the definition of an eved. The definition is someone has a master. Once you don't have a master, he declares you no longer his, so now you immediately go free. Okay, Maska for Rav Papa, let's just do one more point for today. And then the Gemara says, Rav Papa says, I don't understand. You constructed an entire argument based on the machlokes between Rav Shimon Elazar and the Chacham regarding Eishes Yifas Torah. Can't we argue, says Rav Papa, that this machlokes is specific to Eishes Yifas Torah? Because what are you doing? You're taking a girl who has no background, no experience of being a Jew, and you're going to throw her right into becoming a Jew? Okay, now we have a machlokes. But when it comes to Eved, as Rashi over here describes, right, he already went through a tefillah once, he already has a milah, and he's been Shomer Shabbos for however long he's been an Eved for. So there, maybe it's not the same. And maybe over there, the Chachamim would be Moda. And what would they be Moda to? You don't need consent. And the Gemara points out, we have a Braisa. Tanya Nami Hachi, I'm sorry. So it needs a Kabbalah. But if you buy from another Jew, ain't tzarich lekabel money. So who's the author of that price? The Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, malokech min ovei kochav nami, ain't tzarich lekabel. Right, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, didn't we assume, he says, that you don't need a Kabbalah? El alav Rabbanan, so it must be the author of that price is Rabbanan v'shma minad, lokech min ovei kochav nami, tzarich lekabel. So that means that when you buy from a non-Jew, so he needs a Kabbalah, he needs a consent of lokech mison, tzarich lekabel. But if you're buying from a Jew, which means that he's been already within the within mitzvos, so at that point in time, for him to go from Eved owned by a Jew to become a full-fledged Jew, it's not a huge jump. You don't need consent. So ve'ela kasha. So we'll pause over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up from this very point in time.